Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Morning Reload on Cowboy State Politics. I'm your host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. This is the segment of the program where we give you ammunition to fend off those liberal irritants while you're trying to enjoy your morning coffee. Our aim, of course, is to provide you with both barrels of conservatism so that no liberal would even step foot anywhere close to your doorstep, and you can continue to enjoy your morning joe in the peace and serenity that you so richly deserve. Today's segment is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for a new building, be it an outbuilding or a garage or the barn of your dreams, you should contact Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings at 307-674-2532. These guys have been making fantastic buildings longer than just about anybody else around, and they definitely do it better than anybody else around. So give them a call or check out their website at mortonbuildings.com. Common sense is the topic of today's discussion, and we have been hearing a lot about that lately. To all of us in the real world, it usually manifests itself something like, you must be dumber than a box of rocks. That idea just don't have any common sense. Common sense comes naturally to us. When we're approached with an idea that doesn't make any sense, we just call it what it is. Stupid. But that doesn't work with people from Washington, D.C., or the middle swamp of Cheyenne. No. Those folks want to remind us that they're the ones with common sense. Interestingly enough, common sense would dictate that if you want to keep your job as a legislator, you do what you tell the voters that you're going to do. Ha! But they can't figure that out, which is why we continue to replace them. Back on topic, though. There are many things that come out of Washington, D.C. that we are told are common sense, and yet at the same time, they don't make any sense to us. Our first commonsensical idea is just a question that I want to ask you that we'll get back to in a later episode, but I want you to think about it until then. Here goes. Does it make any sense that we allow the biggest computer nerd in the world to dictate hospital policy to us? Or better yet, to tell us what we should be doing with our own bodies in epidemiological matters? Maybe it's just me, but I don't think computer nerds know that much about epidemiology, and here we are letting him dictate to us what we should be doing. Does that make any sense to you? Yeah, me neither. Our second commonsensical idea, and the main topic for discussion on today's segment, is red flag laws. Now, we've been told all along that crazy people don't need to have firearms, and we need to allow the police the ability to identify these crazy people that just don't need to be in possession of a firearm. The most obvious response to this is, we already have a law for that. It's called the Brady Bill. Well, yeah, when you go buy a firearm, you're asked a series of questions, and depending on how you answer them, the firearms dealer can either sell you the gun or not sell you the gun. And one of those is if you've been adjudicated mentally incompetent. The key word there is adjudicated, and that means by a court. You see, America is a nation of laws. And since we all absolutely have the right to keep and bear arms, it would take a court judgment to take that away. We do that in a couple other cases too. So, for instance, if you're a felon or if you've been convicted of domestic violence, well, then you can't buy a firearm and it's illegal for you to possess one. See, we already have laws for those things. The only thing we need to do is just enforce them. And as far as I know, they're enforced pretty regularly. That's why you see all these charges for a felon in possession of a firearm, which is usually 10 years in prison. So if the law we already have is already being enforced, then we don't need another one, which also means that these red flag laws are for something else entirely. This effort typically comes in two ways. The first is referred to by most gun rights groups as Fix Nick's Gun Control. That is, the canard that there's something wrong with our background check system, which there isn't. So all of these liberals claim that our background system, which by the way they created, isn't functioning, and so we've got to fix it. And one of the ways in which they fix it is make it harder for people to buy guns. People that might be judged mentally incompetent by somebody other than a court, which is the second way that these red flag laws appear. That is, somebody other than a court says that you're just mentally unstable and you shouldn't have a firearm. Well, now, who would that be? It couldn't be the government official that has the most contact with the public, could it? Yeah, it would be the police that would do that. Here's the way that they're going to play it. People can already be held for up to 72 hours for their own health. That is, if they're threatening suicide or a family member or somebody close to them thinks that they are suicidal. So the cops show up and they do a welfare check and they check them into a hospital and put a 72-hour hold on them to make sure that they're okay. What the Democrats want to do is extend that to firearms and claim that that mentally unstable person is a threat to the public. The problem with this is you have to violate people's constitutional rights in order to take away their guns illegally. Let me just give you one possible scenario how this could play out. So let's say that somebody has an ex-spouse out there that's particularly disgruntled. Now, I know that there's none of those out there. Well, anyway, they want to get back at their ex for whatever reason. And so they call in the cops and they say, this person is a danger to the community and he has guns. You have to go take them away. So the cops show up, take his guns, and problem solved, right? Well, no, because there's that pesky little thing called the Constitution that liberals don't really care that much about. So again, we're a nation of laws, and the only way that your rock-solid constitutional Second Amendment rights can be taken away from you is if it's been adjudicated by the court, and that is, you've been held guilty by one of those offenses that I mentioned earlier. But in the scenario that we're discussing, no adjudication has taken place. So basically, it would be an end run around your Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms without a court order, which also means that it's a violation of due process and just about every other constitutional right you have. You see, liberals don't care about the Constitution, and they're constantly trying to find ways to go around it. But there's a couple of other problems that are equally as terrifying with red flag laws, the first of which is that it turns police into the judge and jury. Now, that's not the police's job. Really, the job of the police is threefold. First, to enforce the law. Second, to investigate it. And third, to arrest those who are alleged to have broken the law. In the red coat conception of red flag laws, a complaint is made, the police show up, they say, yep, the guy's nuts, take his guns, problem solved. It's not so simple for our police officers. You see, they function on stuff called reasonable suspicion and probable cause. Those are burdens of proof that they have to meet in order to arrest you and haul you before a judge so the judge can make up the decision as to whether or not a trial should take place or that you should be judged mentally incompetent. That's called due process. So the biggest problem with red flag laws is they circumvent our entire legal system. If those two gigantic reasons aren't enough for you, let's look at it from a practical standpoint. Jim DeMint wrote in USA Today on September 9th, 2019, in an article entitled Red Flag Laws to Fight Mass Shootings. Fine in an ideal world, but we don't live in one. That, quote, second, once granted the power to confiscate firearms from citizens neither charged of a crime nor diagnosed with mental health problems, what is to stop government officials from abusing that power? The Democrat Party's hard lurch to the left in recent years raises troubling questions about its approach to such questions. On campuses today, it is common to assert that hate speech is akin to violence, and on the left, the mere expression of conservative political ideas constitutes such hate speech. What standard will Democrat-led justice departments and, worse, progressive judges apply? Will pro-life views disqualify citizens from their Second Amendment rights? Or, on the nonsensical but nonetheless frequently asserted grounds that anti-abortion Americans are a threat to women's health? What about supporters of President Trump, who, according to some on the left, are all racists and white nationalists? Finally, a study of an Indiana law allowing police to seize firearms from people they consider dangerous found outcomes closely correlated to the defendant's presence at the hearing. This is concerning. It suggests that the upshot of red flag laws may be to disarm not dangerous people, but simply the less privileged, those who cannot afford to take off work or who lack the means to hire good lawyers. End quote. Former Senator DeMint's point here is the potential for government abuse is extraordinary. Finally, the potential to use red flag laws to remove firearms from people with whom we disagree is immense. As Senator DeMint points out, that red flag laws could be used to disarm people with whom the left disagrees. And let's be honest about something. It is the left that knows more about political violence than any conservative I've ever met. Leftists that have assassinated presidents. It is leftists who marched through the streets with Black Lives Matter. It is leftists who have destroyed the city of Portland and the city of Seattle and have returned downtown Denver, Colorado to the very dangerous place that it was years ago. It was a leftist who nearly killed Representative Steve Scalise on a baseball diamond. And historically, it was the Democrat Party that created the Ku Klux Klan. So it makes perfect sense why leftists in the Democrat Party are pushing so hard for red flag laws to remove firearms from a party with whom they disagree. That is, conservatives. Want to fight against these insidious red flag laws? Tell the truth about them, because you know that they won't be honest about their intent, nor will they be honest about their history of political violence. Have a good Monday. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.